This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of June of the year 2005. It's being put on audio in the month of February of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is found in the Book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, and verse number 3. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. The title for this message is Burger King Religion. This month's message is, in effect, a continuation of last month's message in asking the question about what do you go to church for. In this message, we are looking at one of the reasons a lot of people choose the churches that they do. To give you the reference to the title, we know that Burger King was the first fast food franchise that offered the customer their choice of having their hamburger any way that they wanted it. Their jingle, "Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us." The idea is the customer is in charge of the making of the product by the restaurant, telling them what you want and what you don't. Contrast that with McDonald's that has the burgers already made, and you basically had to accept the product without any choice of how it was made. Well, as strange as it seems, one of the biggest reasons that people choose a church which was briefly addressed last month was that it made them feel good in their sin. The Apostle Paul in the subject verse is addressing a condition in the last days when people will want to get away from what they see as a hard-nosed, take-no-prisoners, hellfire and brimstone type of preaching for a tiptoe through the tulips message that allows the people to leave the church with no feeling of guilt about anything that they are doing. Now let's dissect the verse bit by bit. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. As I mentioned, the writer was warning us of a time when, even though the message from the pulpit was the true anointed message of God, delivered by a man filled and being led by the Spirit of God, the people would get tired of hearing that they are in need of repentance because they are getting slack in their way of living. They are not standing guard over their souls. They are allowing the devil to come in and destroy their relationship with God. Instead of mortifying the deeds of the flesh, as it says in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse number 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. They are yielding themselves to it. Romans chapter 6 verse number 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And as a result, they are in danger of suffering both in this life and in hell after they die. Now granted, some of the messages from God's man can be harsh, and they can be condemning, and at times they can be downright distasteful, but that is what God has to do to keep us from becoming entangled in the desires of the flesh. It is said the best defense is a good offense. That means that a person takes the initiative to prepare themselves to battle the enemy, even though the enemy is not in sight. It is foolish to wait for an enemy to attack before you prepare to battle him. Many times in the history of nations, conflicts, it is usually the nation that is always prepared for an attack, or that even goes on the offense, that wins the battle before the enemy can attack them. What God is doing is making sure we stay awake and vigilant, not only over our souls, our own souls, but those around us. We have to remember, the devil is on the job 24/7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The pastor of a church is, figuratively, the shepherd of that church, and the members are the sheep. And those that know anything about sheep and shepherds know that the sheep are the most defenseless animals that are on the face of the earth, and that the shepherd is charged with protecting them. A good shepherd stays on the watch all the time. He never slumbers or sleeps, because he knows that to do so could be a disaster. The Bible talks about a man that had 100 sheep, and one got lost, and he went out and searched high and low for it until he found it. That means that the loss of one was unacceptable to him. Well, take that and think about what happens if one soul is lost. This is what the preacher is trying to avoid. Yet the people are getting tired of listening to the same thing all the time. Why? The second part of the subject verse gives us the answer. But after their own lusts. The people are getting weary of the message because they want to enjoy life. They are seeing and are involved in some form of unrighteous behavior and are enjoying it. But the preacher is making them feel guilty. He is making them uncomfortable in church. He keeps challenging them. It is like he is right there when they are doing whatever they are doing, and they don't like it. Now, mind you, they want to go to heaven, but at the same time, they feel that the preacher is demanding too much. They feel that this type of preaching is too harsh and unnecessary. So, since they still want to go to church and have the feeling of going to heaven while still having their fun, they shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. This is the most dangerous type of thing any Christian can do, going around trying to find a church that has a pastor that preaches messages based on what the people want to hear. In the church world today, there are literally thousands of preachers that are anointed by God to be in the pulpits of his churches, preaching his message. At the same time, there are millions, and this is not an exaggeration, that are out here, not only in this nation but the world, who subscribe to preaching messages based on what their members want to hear. They invite the people in with enticing words. They pat them on the back and tell them not to worry. God understands. What this type of preaching actually does is set the people up for destruction, because they stop being wary of sin and the lusts of the flesh. They yield themselves to whatever type of behavior they feel like, and they just want to have what they want without the guilt trips that have been plaguing them in their former church affiliation. and they feel good. But what is the end result of their actions? Sure, they get what they want, the satisfaction of appeasing their flesh, but at the same time, the possible destruction of their souls. What these people want is to find a middle ground, the best of both worlds, or a position of lukewarmness. You know, not too hot and not too cold. In Revelations, there was a church that Jesus addressed that has all of the characteristics of the pastors and people that I have been talking about. It is the church of Laodicea. Jesus is speaking. He says in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 15 through 17, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus is addressing a church, actually a pastor or pastors of a type of a church that tries to stay neutral in all things. And because of that position, millions of people flock to it. It has become rich, as people are willing to give money in large sums to it because it makes them feel good. As far as it is concerned, there is no sin. Once saved, always saved. Who wouldn't want to be in a church like that? To explain what Jesus was saying, look at it like this. Hot means that you are on fire for the things of God. You want to do whatever it takes to please Him. Cold, on the other hand, means that you have no regard for God and His ways at all. This group will go to hell definitely. But there is a middle group, the lukewarm bunch. That is the Burger King religion crowd. They want to stay in the middle, not hot or cold. They are lukewarm, neither hot or cold. Well, Jesus is saying he wishes that they were either hot or cold because they have definite destinations. But because this group is in the middle, He will lump them in with the cold group as well. They went to church. They may have given money to help the church expand and maybe even help others in need. They visited the sick. They were truly their brother's keeper. They defended the weak. They did everything that God says a good Christian should do, except one thing. They walked after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6 says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then if we go down to verse 13 in that same chapter, it says, For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. They despise the chastening of God's word. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." Out of the examples, hot, cold, or lukewarm, which category do you fit into? What kind of religion do you have? You better make sure before it is too late. You only have one chance. Well, that's the end of our message for this particular session. And as usual, I'm hoping that you got something from it and can see a clear picture here, which is, like I'm saying, one of the, I would dare say, this is the major cause for many people that name the name of Christ ending up in hell. Oh, see, they have regard for God, all right, but only up to a certain point. Anything that makes them feel, you know, like they're doing something good or something like that, like visiting the sick and so forth, or giving money to the poor, or feeding the hungry or something like that. All of these things which God says, you know, we should be doing, they gladly do. And they feel good about doing it. But they don't want to be fanatical about it. In these days and times that we're living in today, I'm talking about now in 2025, well, actually even in 2005, but especially in 2025, you keep hearing the term about the right wing Christians, you know, the Christian right, or the right wing, or the evangelicals and things like that. These are all titles and things that they give to people who stand on the word of God solely, and even defy what the Constitution and things says, if it ever comes right down to the end result, as far as the fact they're going to say what they want to say when they want to say it, and they don't care what anybody feels about it. They're going to preach the word, live the word, talk the word, and do everything else like the word says we ought to be doing. But you got other Christians that come along and say that you're being too harsh, you're not showing the love of God, you're being divisive. Well, yeah, you doggone straight we being divisive. See, that's where the lukewarmness thing come in, because see, people want to get in that lukewarm thing there, and that way they don't have to move one way or the other. But see, God says you either going to be hot or cold. If you come lukewarm, he's going to lump you in with those that are cold. And that means you're going to be bound into hell just like the ones that are cold, that don't have any regard for God at all. And that's why I'm saying a lot of people, that's the kind of churches that they seek out. They'll go into churches just like you go in the market. You ever seen people go into the market and things and get some fresh fruits or vegetables, and they walk up to a tomato or some other kind of fruit or something like that, or vegetable, and they want to squeeze it and examine it and see whether or not it's firm or not, or shake it and make sure, you know, it's kind of solid and not squishy and things on the inside, or looking at even if it's some sort of canned goods or something, they want to read the label to see what's all what it's all made up of and what ingredients are added into it, all of this stuff before they purchase the thing. They want to give it a thorough examination, which is good for, you know, if you're going to be buying food and stuff like that, or just like when you buy a house or a car, you want to do a lot of checking and things on things before you make that final step. But you see, when it comes down to the things of God, you try doing that with the church, and see, God ain't having it. And that's why I use the term Burger King religion, because that's basically what these people are involved in. They want church the way that they want it, and they won't accept anything other than that. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre, and as usual, in closing up the message, I like to just say to you and yours, be together again for another message of God. Until then, have a good day.